finds themselves having to deal with. And the passage that Anne read to you this evening was in fact one of the most common passages for me to read in school assemblies. Usually at the beginning of a school year, we used to think about that passage. People depending on one another, people rejoicing in the fact that other people were different, that interdependence. But of course, in the school setting, that can only be part of the story. You can't be talking in quite the same sense of the Holy Spirit knitting us together, and Christ being the head of the body, and that body being the church. But that idea was there, and it informed much of my philosophy when I was in school. And of course I found it again when the education authority sent me off to Henley, the management college. The latest thing, the newest thing, was team building and the various types of people who were required to make the most successful sort of team. And it was the same set of images. What kind of qualities does a successful team need to have? And the emphasis, of course, on the mutual, the interdependence. No one person being expected to have all the gifts, but altogether the whole being much greater than the part. So it's been very important to me outside the church context, that joy in the variety of human attributes instead of suspicion of people who are different from ourselves. Thank God for you, that you are what you are, not why can't you be more like me. And of course, that unity in diversity is something the Creator has put into the world, because it's a reflection of God Himself, the Holy Trinity. Unity, yes, the deepest possible unity, and diversity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it's not surprising, is it, that He has created mankind with that kind of diversity and with the intention of a unity which, as Jesus says in His great high priestly prayer, should reflect the unity between Himself and His Father. But of course, we're not just talking about any ideal human community. We're talking about the body of Christ. I remember Martin Lloyd-Jones saying on many occasions that the big difference between psychological pressures and the work of the Holy Spirit is that psychological pressures make us conform, make us more like one another, make us try to conform and become more alike. The Holy Spirit makes us more varied, but of course also unites us under the headship of Christ. Our talents, our spiritual gifts, our physical capacities, our emotional capacities, they're all different. They're unique to us. And every Christian is called to use his or her unique capacities in the services of Christ, as, and this is another passage in which Paul gets around to the picture of the body, as living sacrifices, part of that church which is the body of Christ. And what's the purpose of that church? It's to make disciples of all nations. That's what Jesus said himself in the Great Commission, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. So the purpose of the church is to win others for Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to live Christ-like lives. That's what the church is for. Well, of course, in Sterry Chapel, this is all very obvious. And I'm telling you how important it is to me, but no doubt you've always felt that it was very important yourself. What shall we say that's new and relevant to our present situation? I think the obvious one is that the body is always changing. And this is where the picture begins to break down a little bit. Because at different stages in our lives, the part we play, the part we're equipped to play, will change, won't it? There have been times when I've been, yes, a front man. There have been times when I've been heavily involved in music. There have been times when I've been very much a backroom man. There have been times when I haven't contributed very much to the church at all, but the church has propped me up. You see what I mean? Different stages in your life. And Sterry Chapel is going to change. Sterry Chapel is going to change. It should change. A new young pastor should make for changes. And that's good for us all. There's a tremendous lot to be thankful for in the events of the past 6 years, is it? Or seven? I can't remember quite now. A tremendous amount to be thankful for. The Lord has been very good to Sterry Chapel. We've had many blessings. We've made many new discoveries about the capacities of one another. We've learned many lessons about bearing with one another, even when we differ. We have very much to be thankful for. The church has held together wonderfully well. And what I'm not about to say to you this evening is stop what you're doing and do something different. Because your new pastor will need time to work out how things work at present and to gauge how this part of the body fits together. Only a fool jumps into a new situation and doesn't take time to feel the network of relationships and dependencies that are there. And you certainly wouldn't come into a body which is joined so tightly as Sterry Chapel is and start changing those links without a very clear feeling as to what they are. So it's important for the time being to give continuity. Actually, we know a little bit more now about one reason why the Lord sent us to Cringleford. You see, our new, young, bright, loving, prayerful, inspirational vicar came into the church. And immediately, changes happened in the sense that one of the licensed leaders retired, one of the readers has retired, the senior reader, who in fact had carried much of the burden of ministry during the interregnum, signed up for a university course for a year as a sort of sabbatical. And so Andrew would have been very hard pushed, except that we were able to come in and give support, and I've been able to take some of the services and so on and so forth. That was a forced thing. In a sense, too much change, which the Lord overruled, I think, and made some provision for. Too much change too quickly in that sense. Other things have moved forward and changed gently and most wisely. But we need continuity. But nevertheless, and this is the challenge, we need to be prepared to change over time. And this next few months, perhaps for all of us in Surrey Chapel that is, need to think soberly about your present gifts, capacity, and availability. You need to start to prepare yourself, perhaps, to change over time as the Lord directs. Think, for instance, about the changes in your family and job commitments. Have these perhaps moved a little bit more into the background, and could you take on a bit more in terms of the Lord's work? Or have they grown, and should you perhaps be doing rather less up front, in the centre, in an obvious way, and giving more support to your family? There are changes in your mental and physical capacities. I've already expressed my feeling that I am terrified, frankly, of going on preaching when I should stop, because I started to bore people, because my grasp and my way of expressing myself has become less sharp than it should be. You see what I'm getting at? It's different for each of you. Your own spiritual growth, knowledge, and experience over these years may have equipped you for doing more. It may be that in one sense that doing more should be by doing less, obviously, but spending more time in prayer. There's a potential for things going wrong in a new situation. Prayer support for a new pastor as he seeks to juggle the demands of his family, his ministry, the pastoral needs. Prayer support for the whole body of deacons and workers within the church, as they reshape, as the body, in a sense, reshapes and adjusts. You may not be able to rush around now, but what a precious thing it has proved to us over the years we've been at Surrey Chapel, to find that when there are problems, when there are difficulties, there have been people, sometimes very, very elderly people, who have found out what the needs are and then most faithfully and consistently and continuously have prayed for those needs. It's a tremendous blessing in terms of support, but we won't know until we're in glory what a blessing it has been in terms of the Lord changing things. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. I think that's from Mort Datour, isn't it? But you see the point. So, if you're getting on a bit and can't get around too much, perhaps your prayer list should be getting longer, and the range of people for whom you are praying should get wider and perhaps get more attention. Perhaps you're young, you're getting more energy, you're getting more experience, you know how to do things more. Perhaps you should be offering to do more yourself. But remember the basis of it all, and this is where I stop at this stage. You are not your own, says Peter. You are bought with a price. And we are now going to go to the Lord's table and remind ourselves of that price. But before we do so, we'll sing hymn number 256, that one in fact, I am not my own, I've been bought with a price, precious blood of Christ, I am not my own. As we've been thinking about the changing demands that changing circumstances may make upon us, and changing opportunities, and the really exciting prospect of moving forward as a church with a new pastor, there are wider issues, I think, that obviously with your new pastor you'll be considering and praying about. You should be praying about them now. One of the important questions is, what kind of church is Surrey Chapel? What kind of church is Surrey Chapel? I have very great admiration for and respect for those who have a vision for the witness to the local community who live around this church. I've been involved in that work. I know something of the amount of effort that's gone on over years, witnessing and seeking to express the love of Christ in that community. It's a hard grind, with often very little obvious reward. Part of the problem, of course, is that it's against the grain. Because most people who worship at Surrey Chapel live and work elsewhere. And so the natural witness that Jesus talks about when he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, isn't there? They can see expressions of love, expressions of great dedication to the Lord, expressions of love for the Lord too. What they can't see is the sweet savour of a consistent Christian life, day after day and week after week and year after year. One of the things that we are finding great joy in is that we ourselves worship and witness now where we live and where our relationships and network of contacts is focused. And that's a great blessing. But that is not the only way that a church should be. God is sovereign in the matters of his church. I think we have to say that Surrey Chapel is not a neighbourhood church. in that sense. We long that it should be, and that people around where the church is should be coming into the church and getting involved and making it a more and more local church. But that isn't presently what Surrey Chapel is. Is it a narrow and exclusive congregation bearing negative witness to its basis of faith by standing apart in aloof purity? God forbid, I think we'd all say. One of the things that actually hurts me, though I shouldn't be judgmental about it, is that a gentleman in Eton has opened a church which bears witness to his own particular brand of Calvinism, about 75 metres from Park Church. A faithful, witnessing, lively, loving evangelical church. We wouldn't want Surrey Chapel to be that sort of church. God forbid. Is Surrey Chapel a church with world vision? Known and valued in many parts of the world for faithful service and Christian love, often sacrificial service. Praise God, that is true. One of the things that thrills me about the way things have moved in Surrey Chapel over recent years has been the development of our relationships in Africa, in India, in Eastern Europe, in South America. That's wonderful. And we should give thanks to God that He's opened those doors of witness and fellowship and opportunities for prayer and opportunities for giving. We thank God that Surrey Chapel is a church with world vision, known and valued in many parts of the world for faithful service and Christian love. Long may that continue, and may it develop. Is it a teaching and preaching centre, or will it be, which benefits the whole body of Christ within its catchment area? A church with a sharp, clear witness to the central truths of the gospel, which still remains broad and welcoming. A church to which you can bring a non-Christian friend and know they will hear the gospel clearly presented. You can bring somebody who needs teaching and know that they will get the teaching that they need to build them up. God grant that that may be the case. You see, Surrey Chapel is an important place. We've been aware, as we've been outside it, just in what high esteem Surrey Chapel is regarded by people in other churches. There's been a real sense of excitement among some Christians that we know that Surrey Chapel at last is having a pastor who can get it moving again. That's what they say. You see, a church, a city centre church like this, can have an impact, I would suggest should have an impact, on the whole body of Christ in Greater Norwich, in the areas from which we come, where we live, where we carry out our daily living and witnessing. Remember, the body of Christ is comprised of all who have put their trust in Him, however limited their knowledge and understanding may be, however poor the quality of teaching they've had is. There are lots of people out there who have very little real knowledge of Christian truth, who are nevertheless saved by grace, parts of the body of Christ. And somehow, I believe that a church like Surrey Chapel can have and ministry to them. Read 1 Corinthians 12 again when you have time and ask yourself this question. Doesn't it apply just as much to different churches with their different characteristics, their different history, their different emphases, as it does to individuals? You think that through and pray that through. Our beloved Pastor David said on many occasions in my hearing, in meetings relating to Festival Norwich, this: we will do together what we can. And we will inform and support each other in prayer where it's not appropriate for us to join together. A very wise and balanced thing. I think Surrey Chapel will always need to have its own distinctive emphasis, its own distinctive character, but not aloof, not separate. This is the question. Have we drawn back from the wisdom that David expressed there? We will do together what we can. We will inform and support each other in prayer where it's not appropriate for us to join together. We ourselves have taken great joy and found great strength in the fact that Surrey Chapel Prayer Meeting continues to pray for what we're trying to do, our work and witness in Cringleford. And also that every prayer meeting we've been at in Cringleford has also prayed for Surrey Chapel. And I know that our vicar has, in his own private devotions, been praying very, very much, first that we might get the right pastor, and once he knew that one had been appointed, for Tom and his family themselves. What about our own relationships with fellow Christians at work, where we live? The people we meet often, do they have a sense of fellowship with us? If they have not been well taught, have little real understanding, do they still have a sense of fellowship with us, or do they feel that we think we're a bit superior to them? It's a challenge, isn't it? Here's another suggestion. Could we perhaps join with the local church folk in the area where we live in prayer, or find other ways to show love and solidarity? Surrey Chapel people do that. I know that Gordon and Hazel have been praying with their local church people for years. I know that Roz and Doug have been doing so where they live. One of the joys about our prayer meeting in Cringleford is that we get quite a number of people from Holy Trinity who come along and join in prayer with us. And there's growing a real sense of fellowship with people from Holy Trinity, people who worship over the boundaries in Eton, and people from Cringleford. Here's the question. Would our non-Christian neighbours be inclined to remark, "See how these Christians love one another," when they see our relationships with other Christians? We ourselves and the people at Cringleford Church will continue to pray for Surrey Chapel and for Tom Chapman. And one of the things we'll be praying for is that we'll all be blessed by your presence and witness in our city. These are exciting times at Surrey. God bless you all. God lead you forward according to his will. May the whole body of Christ have a sense of renewed impetus from this church. There's tremendous respect for Surrey Chapel out there amongst other Christian folk. God grant that they will feel a sense of strengthening as you move forward into this exciting new beginning. The second part was rather shorter than the first, wasn't it? Shall we now sing hymn number 728, 728. We have a gospel to proclaim, good news for men in all the earth, the gospel of a Saviour's name. We sing his glory, tell his worth.